Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's go, let's go, come on.
Let's be clear.
Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Hello and welcome to Shrine of Duty. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is Quarantelli, week number 4.
Woo! We've gone crazy!
Is it only week number 4?
Week number 4 of this thrown together podcast, yes.
Jeez, because last week I thought it was flying. This week I'm like, jeez, it's dragging on now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think about 11 minutes ago I said to you guys that I've actually found an isolation completely fine. I was actually enjoying my walks and everything, and now I feel like my chest is closing in.
That's because we dragged you down by going, no, it's terrible.
It's so funny.
It's so funny though, because you just have those days where it all becomes too much. I found a long weekend, like yesterday I was like an antichrist.
I wasn't good yesterday. No.
Maybe I was drunk, but I was flying all weekend. Like, honestly, I was in great form.
That's my problem. I didn't have a drink yesterday, so maybe I should have had one.
Yeah.
Don't stop, Brendan. It'll all cave in.
Just keep going.
Just keep drinking.
That it actually does help a lot, though, to be honest. Like, especially over the long weekend, like Friday, because the weather was good, there is nothing nicer than sitting outside and having a drink al fresco.
Yes.
That's it. It's the weather. It's just stunning.
It is stunning.
So we have some big news to kick off the podcast with this week.
Huge. Oh, yeah. Brendan, go on. You tell everyone.
So we sent a tweet out about the Nest. Now I'm starting to tell everyone and I can't even remember what tweet it was. We sent a tweet out about the Nest. He says, as he
we put a tweet. We put a tweet up about our podcast last week, saying that we were talking about Save Me Too, the Nest, and like Liar and something else. And I think that we might have tagged this person in it or the hashtag. But Martin Constant replied to the tweet.
Yeah, he did.
No,
I think it was just the hashtag.
Yeah, I don't think we tagged him, and we just used a stunning photograph of him in his mansion from the Nest.
So Martin Constant, Steve Arness, knows who we are.
We have made contact.
And if he actually listened to last week's podcast and didn't just react to the social media post, he would have heard us all gushing over him with no top on. So that's either a very good thing or a very bad thing.
Like,
no, that's a good thing.
2 and 3 in AC12 is not bad. We need to get on to Kate Fleming, aka
Vicky McLaurin. And you're the last,
not like, fake
the last
Kate
piece
either.
Of the puzzle. Excuse me for a second. Fake Kate, is she the detective in the Nest?
No.
No.
Are we 100%?
That's definitely not fake Kate, but the detective in the Nest is familiar from somewhere, and I'm not sure where that is. We'll have to go and look into that. But she's not fake Kate. No.
IMDBing. Okay, sorry to take us away from that moment.
Yeah, so Martin Comston tweeted us, told us to be safe, knows who we are.
And we were, just to be safe.
We were beside ourselves. He said, nice one, guys. Hope you're keeping safe and enjoy the last two eps. All best.
No. He actually retweeted us, and then I think we were texting and we were like, oh my God, Martin Compton retweeted us. And then as we were talking, he replied, and then we just lost the plot.
Yeah.
No loss of plot.
Like, I mean, we're easily pleased in quarantine.
That's huge though, Brandon.
It is pretty big.
We were squealing. Like we were all squealing and we didn't know what to reply. And we're like, we don't want to be too eager. We want to be cool. We want to be like, oh, thanks, Martin. Like, hope you're well.
Oh, yeah. That reply was contrived.
But like, guys, can you imagine him tweeting from Vegas?
I know.
I can't actually.
In quarantine with his stunning wife and like his cute dog.
His dog in his gorgeous house. I bet they have a pool.
Did you see then Jeb Mercurio tweeted before the final of The Nest and he was starring Martin Comston wearing sharper suits and driving a better motor than we'll ever give Steve Arnott.
I was talking to Craig about that car. Yeah, he said it was like £120,000 or whatever. We looked it up.
You can just smell the leather. Honestly.
Why was it purple though?
Yeah, it's an odd colour, yeah.
Why was it purple?
No, Rebecca was purple. I only noticed it on a rewatch this week and I'd say it was the only one they let them have out of the garage. They're like, take the purple one.
Sorry. Gas. Because like, the one they let them borrow gorgeous. For filming. And so guys, over the last week, we're obviously going to talk about The Nest in depth because it's the finale was last night. Or was it last night? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
And what else have you guys been watching, first of all, like over the last 7 days?
Well, Hannah set us some homework. So I had two bits of homework. I had to watch all of Save Me because you guys had seen that last week. Yes. And I had to watch Breeders. So I did both of those in their entirety.
Yes, Brandon.
So, well done.
10 out of 10 for me. Breeders, I loved it. I love Martin Freeman anyway. And I just thought it was a real easy, funny watch. Yeah, it was just gas. I just thought it was hilarious. I really liked it.
There's something relaxing about it, isn't there?
Yeah, and they're just very, very real, I think.
In their
problems and just day to day, like, oh God, being an adult, being a parent, being married or not. And then, like, no spoilers, because I don't think, Reb, you haven't seen it, have you?
No, I didn't do my homework, sorry. I was very busy.
It took a bit of a turn at the end. I was like, Jesus, did not see that coming.
Yeah, I actually had to rewind that back because I was. It's kind of one of those shows. I make my tea and I sit down and I put it on. I really enjoy it, but I'm probably like looking at my phone. Do you know what I mean? Like not fully. like you don't have to watch it. Like you're watching The Nest, say.
No.
So when that bit happened that we're referring to, I think it was in episode 5. I was like, sorry, what? Like,
How many seasons is there, guys?
Just one.
Just the one.
This is the first one.
Yeah.
And you think there's going to be another one after that?
I'd say so, yeah.
I think this one's going to be successful. It's like 25 minutes long. I think it came out at the perfect time. It's like, you laugh along with it. Real easy going, real easy to watch. I look forward to it coming out every week. It's a Thursday, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I hope there'll be another season.
Yeah. Okay, so then I have my other bit of homework, which was Save Me. But before that, will we just get the other one out of the way?
Liar.
Oh, yeah, geez, guys.
Hannah,
really
did you finish it?
I finished it about 15 minutes ago.
Okay, so I actually haven't fully finished it. I watched the season finale of Liar via Gogglebox. So I literally just saw the end and I was like, oh, yeah, Grant, fine.
Do you know what happens?
I know what happens, but I didn't watch the whole episode and I don't know if I ever will.
I honestly wasn't going to watch it and then I was like, oh, Hannah, just watch it because Brendan will want to talk about it on the podcast and like, just do it. Like, it's watching TV, it's not a chore. But there's this scene which is obviously meant to be the pinnacle. We've been building to it all season. It's the big reveal. And she's out on this marsh, right?
Yeah.
And there's this fog. Now, when I say it comes out of fucking nowhere, like, it is a gorgeous day, stunning day, she's canoeing, and then all of a sudden, boom, and it's not normal fog, it's like yellow, like it looks like they're in the Sahara and it's been a sandstorm and you can't see a thing, and the only reason the fog is there is because it needs to be there for a part of the story,
like
the person,
dodgy dry ice in a music video.
Yeah,
it's like one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. It's to conceal what's actually going on so you don't know. And I actually was like, oh, it looked like someone made a film for school and I was like, I cannot believe.
Oh my god,
this is on my TV.
Dear.
Jesus.
Guys, you know what I was laughing about last week? Someone followed the Shrine at Shrine Pod Twitter account. that worked in ITV, and the of you in the group were like shitting it after whatever you'd said about Liar.
But like, we haven't said anything nice, have we?
Liar won't be back, but it very much from the Gogglebox bit that I saw, it's finished in a nice, neat bow and it's done, and I don't think it can really come back, can it?
And what were the Gogglebox people's opinions?
Their opinions were, yeah, that it had been dragging on all season, that the whole season had just been flashbacks. They were kind of skitting around a bit like we were. One of them was like, wasn't invested. And then they were like, oh, that's the first time that it's ever turned out that they've not double bluffed you, that it has been the person you thought it was.
Yeah, I just, you know what they should have done? Probably given the first season two more episodes, made it a little bit longer, added this part of the story in, and then it would have been like a really deadly show.
Yeah.
And kind of left it on high rather than doing a second season, which is making me look back at the first season like it was shit when it definitely wasn't. Like, no, it was brilliant at the time.
Yeah, I thought season one was great, but season two, not so great.
Bonkers.
But yeah, so watch that. Okay, and then my other bit of homework was Save Me. So
what did you think, Brendan?
So when I spoke to you two last week, and we obviously couldn't have a discussion because I wanted to watch it, I'd only seen episode one of season two, and I really wasn't sure that I was going to bother with it at all. I was like, I don't know. And then obviously I had like a long, long, long weekend, and you two had recommended it so highly that I went, okay, I'm going to do it. And my God, episode two, I was hooked. I was the fish on the fishing rod emoji in.
Were we right or were we right?
Oh my God, you were so right. So I loved it. So basically, I loved the whole, the new storyline that was brought in.
Can we talk all about it now?
Yeah.
So, do a spoiler warning.
So spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Save Me 2, we're going to start talking about it in detail now. So I loved the fact that her name was Grace, wasn't it? So I was really invested in that story about Grace and about Gideon Charles. And
Gideon's an evil bastard, isn't he?
Yeah. And so I loved the whole courtroom drama. I liked the fact that Nelly was, you know, trying to help Grace because I suppose because he felt that he couldn't help Jody, you know, he as much as he was trying to find her or whatever. So I was really invested.
And she was so like him.
Yeah.
Or so like so Jody, like, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. Which obviously was part of Gideon's plan in the first place, to put her in there to make her look like it was her. And I was really invested in that storyline. But I texted another friend of mine who was watching it, and I was like, am I a terrible human that I actually don't really care that much about Jody? Like, I wasn't invested enough in Jody, and I wasn't sure if we were going to get payoff by the end of this season. Turns out we did. And then once he did find her, I was so in, and it was really emotional. And to see her coming back in with the family, and poor Nelly standing at the front door while Saran Jones just like brought her inside, I was like, oh God, oh God. Like, it was so emotional.
For me, go on. No, you go on, Reb.
No, go.
It was the bit where, so he's gone to the house of the woman whose address that he made Gideon's wife write down. And
so sorry. So before you go on, I couldn't figure out how he found her. I didn't know where he got that address from.
So he had so Gideon's wife, who he kind of made help. He kind of guilted into helping him. I think it was the very first episode. They go to a coffee shop, and you're not really sure who she is. And he's like, write the addresses down. So I think over the series, he's slowly going through them all.
Gotcha.
And then he gets caught up, kind of helping Grace with loads of other stuff, and it goes off in a whole tangent. But he starts to come back to looking through these addresses again. He's actually looking for. He wasn't looking for Gideon, because he's died at this point. He was looking for something else. Anyway, so he just happens to go, and I love that it's a coincidence, because it's so hard to write coincidences and have it be believable.
Yeah.
And then also because he keeps seeing visions of Jody. So when you see the flash of her in the apartment, you're like, oh, another vision. And then he's, oh, I just thought it was the most amazing thing. And then it turned out it is her, but you're watching it all from his facial expressions, and you're like, is it her? Isn't it her?
Is she there?
Isn't it her? Is she really there?
Yeah.
And you literally feel like it's gone on for a year, and he's also knocked that woman out. So you're kind of feeling like, oh God, that was a very aggressive thing to do. And then it turns out it is her, and his face just breaks down, and it's like, the best bit of telly ever.
I thought that whole scene was just absolutely phenomenal, and I had to rewind it to go, is that actually, no way, that's not her.
Yeah.
And the fact that it wasn't the ending of the series, that it was when they were reunited, it wasn't this amazing Hollywood happy ending reunion. It was pure chance. He had to beat up a woman who was holding her there, and his daughter met them as an adult. Like, sorry, Jodie met Nelly for the first time face to face as an adult after he had beaten up a woman in front of him and she didn't know who he was.
That really took me a few seconds to process, because I was like, surely she should be like, oh my god, dad, you've, you know, rescued me. But sure, she wouldn't have a clue who he is.
Yeah, and you remember the whole reason she was taken in the first place is because they lured her in by pretending to be him. So when she went off, that's why he's so involved in this. Obviously, it's his daughter, but she went off to meet him at a library.
Okay.
Taken.
Yeah.
So I kind of totally forgot that. Yeah, like you said, she didn't actually know who he was.
No.
And so until he says it and reminds you, you're like, this is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he just felt so responsible for it. The one character that we didn't really find out what happened to was, do you remember in the first season, the college fella with the long hair who was like an Alex Turner wannabe is how I would describe him. I think his name was Luke.
Yeah, he played young Voldemort in the Harry Potter film.
I kind of wanted, like, I found just, that was the only thing that I was like, what happened to him? Obviously, he would have been arrested and everything, but, like, I know they didn't like Nelly, and that's why they decided to, you know, do all set him up and everything. It's just, I don't understand the link between them and Gideon, if you get me. That was the only thing that was a bit hazy to me. I was like, how do we go from a girl talking on a laptop to someone who she thought her dad was. Do you know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
Will you remind me what he did again?
So, because I had watched season one, I suppose, very late on. I watched it kind of only a few weeks ago. So, him and the other guy hated the way Nelly treated them in the bar. I hope I'm right with this. And they heard him talking about the swordfish dumplings and everything. And he was the one who lured her with the information that it was her dad.
Right.
So, and obviously, you know, there was that horrible scene with Saran Jones and him. She was like, will I just sleep with you if you tell me where my daughter is and everything? And, you know, then, like, he was in the pub and there was basically a lockdown. And Nelly was like, he said swordfish dumplings. That was the giveaway. And Nelly was like, how do you know that the swordfish dumplings were mentioned? Only the police know that.
Yes.
So obviously the other friend jumped in front of a bus or a car and killed himself, and then it was the other guy left. So I suppose if there, I'm sure there's going to be a third season, but that was just one thing that I was like, I would love to have found out a bit more about that. But I suppose the second season focused on different characters were given pride of place, you know, in the second season, and they did it so well. But I just thought it was phenomenal. And I found that scene that she was getting the examination like one of the hardest things I've ever had to watch.
It was awful, yeah.
It was horrific. Yeah, it was bawling crying when I watched that.
It was really tough. And then also when she was back in the house and, she asked for him and poor Claire. And what's Claire's new fella's name? The Irish fella?
Oh, fake Aidan Gillen.
Oh my God, he is like a fake Aidan Gillen.
I can't remember his name. Yeah.
Anyway, so and they were outside the door, and it was like such a like struggled because like obviously you know they've been her parents for like however long, but he's her biological dad, and yeah, it was really like tough to watch, and then for then him to call him out, be like, Nelly, look, I'm her dad. You know, you can obviously be her dad up to a certain point, but then the decisions that are made are ours, and we don't know if we want her to, you know, pursue or prosecute or, you know, bring any charges.
Oh my god, guys, the pool scene as well, I completely just thought of that there.
So how did the fucking sun lounger end up on top of her?
Yeah, I think did she stand and fall backwards into the pool and pull it on top of herself?
Yeah. I don't know.
I that's what I thought. I thought that she just like just didn't want to be there anymore.
And your man said he couldn't swim, that's why he didn't jump in. Wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it all just happened in a split second. I'm sorry, guys, were you absolutely sweating when Grace took that child to the roof? I was like, this is going to be really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I love, I can't, what is it, Zisa?
The girlfriend.
Oh, she is stunning.
She's absolutely amazing, isn't she?
I love her. I love her child. I just think she is an absolute queen.
And when Nelly goes to hand himself in and he gives her the extra kiss at the door and she's like, what's going on? Aww. And then he walks off to the police station. I just couldn't deal with that.
And we, I think we all knew he was going to do that throughout the series.
Yeah,
with the
he,
knife
just,
thing.
He just feels like he owes... that he feels like he needs to make up for something all the time, doesn't he? He's like...
He's such a charmer, but he's so, like... He's so, you know, he's a charmer, but he's also a bit dodgy. Like he does go from house to house and use people when it suits him. And, but you still do really feel for him. I saw a really good article that was on Digital Spy and they spoke to Olive Gray, who played Grace in the series, about why Nelly ultimately kind of sacrificed himself at the end to so she could go and, you know, live a normal life after everything she'd been through. And she said, oh, I also think that in Nelly, there's a tiny bit of a feeling that his life didn't really have any purpose until any of it started. And I think because of that, this is his purpose. His purpose is to save Jody, but also he ends up saving Grace. And I think that's the best way he can do it.
I completely agree with all of that. It definitely feels like... Like he was moving towards something on this journey so much, and I don't think he got the relief he thought he'd find bringing Jody back. And I think maybe going to prison and completely finishing the loop might give him the kind of relief he's searching for.
Yeah.
Will he go to prison though? Like he sat down and she didn't believe him. She was like, why? I think she said something like, why are you doing this? Like she doesn't believe him.
Yeah, she doesn't believe him.
No. Also, Stephen Graham. Just
phenomenal.
Love him as an actor. And yes, the actress playing opposite him was brilliant as well.
We spoke about her last week.
Yeah.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
She was great.
It's like they really kind of tweaked it to who they focused on this season, but they did it so well.
That's it, it's about natural.
It was phenomenal. Also, I want to head to that pub, the Palm Tree.
I don't know if I fancy that now.
Oh, I'd love a lock in there.
With Stace behind the bar.
Bernie, that was that character's name. And it was Alice Feet. Remember, we were chatting about her last week.
Yeah.
Deadly.
It was such a good storyline. Like, obviously, such a sensitive and delicate storyline.
I want to hear more from them. Like, it looks like it is coming back from a season 3. And presumably, the baby will be here by then. And I don't know if her doubts have completely gone. I think it will all...
I don't know.
It's very hard to watch as well.
Yeah.
Because just, it's so grey area, all of it. Not all of it, Jesus Christ, but just that particular storyline. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot to take in. Like, Jesus, I needed some light relief after watching it. Like, I won't lie to you.
Yeah
it's a lot. We have a few other bits of news to discuss this week. So, Marcella is officially pushed back. So we were expecting it around now, I guess.
But I think even before now, we kind of thought that we might have it. Yeah, we thought we'd have it early this year, didn't we?
We thought early this year. And Anna Friel tweeted last week, she said, Marcella will be shown in the autumn. Sorry for those of you waiting. So it was officially postponed by ITV. So it was obviously due to come out quite soon. They just made the decision to push it back. I don't know why you would sit on a TV show that's finished when you have a core audience.
Totally. I totally agree. Like, everyone, you have a massive available audience. Everyone's at home all weekend and during the week. And you probably don't have other programs that will be made on a shorter turnaround. So you'd have this ready to go. So
I kind of thought about this because I was like, we obviously always were really looking forward to it. We wanted to, like, you know, do a podcast about it. And like, season 2 was absolutely turned and everything. But just because Line of Duty, the filming didn't really get started properly and was pushed back, I would imagine Line of Duty was meant to air in maybe September. And I would say they're probably going to put Marcella there instead.
So they're filling Prime stuff kind of thing.
With Prime shows. I know, it's not the same TV.
It's not the same network, yeah.
But if you know what I mean, I would imagine maybe like even was Happy Valley meant to come back later in the year? Like, were they putting Marcella in place of that? That's the only thinking I can, that would make any sense to me, because I completely agree with you. It's like, we all are consuming more TV now than ever. We're more invested in it. We've nothing bloody else to do. Like, at one point I thought I was in Tiger King. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's that would be the only thing that I could think of, is are they trying to fill the schedule for later in the year? Because to be honest, everyone's going to be a bit tight on the old content.
Yeah, totally.
That makes complete sense. And then the only other thing I was thinking is, like, I don't know if you saw Martin Compson at the start of the month. He posted a photo where he was recording dialogue tweaks for the next,
and
you had
duvet,
to do it like under a duvet. So I didn't realize actually, like, the Nest was actually going out at that stage. It was on TV and they were still tweaking episodes that were to come. So I didn't realize how close to a show going out changes still are getting made.
Yeah.
So unless it actually isn't completely finished yet, and there is stuff like dialogue tweaks with studios not being open or a little bit like that, people not being able to work, maybe it isn't finished.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But I also think we're going to see stuff pushed back for the sheer reason of trying to fill slots. They've done that with all the Marvel movies right up until 2022. So they've basically taken the next 10 movies or whatever and pushed them all back. Do you know? So that, like, some movies are taking other slots while there's nothing going on this summer. A complete domino effect, exactly. Yeah. So I suppose we'll have to prepare for more of that.
Yeah, just waiting for Marcella then.
Yeah, did you guys ever watch Dead to Me on Netflix?
Dead to Me.
Is that the wife?
Christina Applegate.
Yeah,
that's coming back really soon. May 8th. They released a teaser trailer today. So that's something that, like, I know I'm going to binge in one go. And it's not too, it's not heavy. It's like funny. It's just dark comedy.
And Ricky Gervais' Afterlife is back really soon as well.
Yes, there's a trailer out for that last week. I actually just rewatched season one. I find it really rewatchable, just one of those shows you can throw on, even though it's quite sad. I love it. So
and
that's
I love
Friday week.
Roisin Connolly, who's in that, I love her, and her show, her comedy on Channel 4, Marcella, is hilarious. No,
Marcella.
Sorry, not Marcella. Sorry. her comedy, Marcella. Her character name in it is Marcella, and the show is called Game Face. It's very
funny. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah,
so. I have a chipper down the road from me called Marcella's.
What else have we to talk about?
Oh yeah, so sorry, they were just two things. We obviously need to talk about the Nest, but also, Hannah, what else have you been watching?
Well, I actually have some more piece of news that we decided for just 1 second, but Netflix have decided to take Line of Duty off the platform when we're all at home just wanting to watch our favourite show and it's gone. So I had a look into why this all happened, and basically they had a big, there's been a dispute between Netflix and the distribution company that makes Line of Duty. So basically what happened was the distribution company went bust and loads of people lost their jobs, and Netflix were like, look, we will still give you the money, but instead of giving you the money, that is going to go straight to the liquidation company that have now taken over from the distribution people, because they had to go into liquidation. Netflix were like, we want to give the money that we're paying for this show directly to the producers of Line of Duty, so that people actually involved with the show are making money rather than some middleman that has nothing to do with anything and they're just helping you out of liquidation.
Yeah.
And Key Media Distribution, who own Line of Duty, basically turned around and said no. So Netflix said, okay, good luck then, and pulled every Key Media Distribution title from their platform, which includes Line of Duty and a few other good ones. So that is why that has disappeared. Yes. So unless they can sort that out, it's not good.
That, to me, just going just off purely only what I've heard from you there, that sounds like Netflix was trying to do a good thing, no?
It sounds like Netflix are trying to do a really good thing, but I don't know. I don't understand liquidation and stuff. I know that, so Key Media Distribution, they basically took out a $100 million loan, which they were unable to pay back, and the company went into administration. They lost all of their employees, and then 8 directors resigned. So I don't know if they were in a position to say yes to Netflix's deal. Maybe they had to say no. Maybe the liquidation company had to get the money. Like, I'm not too sure how it works, but from Netflix's point of view, that sounds brilliant. Like, the people that make the TV and act in it and produce and direct it definitely should get the money. But now that that hasn't worked out, it means none of us are getting to watch Line of Duty unless we have
Mother of God,
that's
the BBC iPlayer.
I thought that it was gone, because do you remember when BritBox was getting set up? I emailed the BritBox, or the BBC press office actually, to ask, would BritBox be made available in Ireland as well as the UK? And my other question for them was, did the establishment of BritBox mean that shows like Line of Duty, Gavin and Stacey, BBC, you know, kind of productions would be all taken off Netflix and put on this instead? And their reply was, A, you're not getting BritBox in Ireland, it's only the UK and Canada, and B, no, it would have no effect on BBC shows that are on Netflix, but they would come down as and when their licensing agreements came to an end. So I was wondering if that's what had happened here, but it's not. Obviously, there's been a totally separate
round. Is it on BritBox, guys?
Yes, apparently it is.
Yeah, I'd say it would be, yeah.
We had people tweeting us last week that it is on BritBox. Oh, yeah. So other shows I've been watching, haven't actually started watching it yet, but Little Fires Everywhere, a Reese Witherspoon show that I was telling you guys about during the week.
That
came out under my radar and I didn't realise, and it's like the most right of our street thing ever.
I have to watch that. It's on, is it Hulu?
Hulu. So basically the synopsis is the intertwined fates of picture-perfect Richardson family and an enigmatic mother and daughter who upend their lives. That's what it's about. It features Reese Witherspoon, Kerry Washington, Joshua Jackson. So like real Hollywood cast. It's a Reese Witherspoon production. So it's another one of these books that she read and whipped up the rights for, which seemed to be... she does it all the time.
She's doing Eleanor Oliphant as well, and I can't wait to forward that, but I don't know when it's coming out or anything like that. It'll probably be all delayed now, Jesus, but yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I was only talking about that during the week because I finished an incredible book over the weekend. I literally spent the whole day on Easter Sunday reading this book, Where the Crawdads Sing. And when I get into a book, I get really obsessed with it. So I'm like, I need to know all about the author. I need to know everything about the book. I need to know about the movie rights. And obviously, Reese Witherspoon has the rights to it. She's turning it into a film. And then, we can always rely on Reese. I think she uses her book club as a bit of a market test place. And if a book goes down well with the book club, which is like 1.6 million people on Instagram, she'll just snap up the rights, because she's brought this Big Little Lies, Little Fires Everywhere, very similar vein. Like, even the characters, you can see in the trailer, we can maybe share the trailer later on, her character is very similar to Madison, this kind of like picture perfect wife with a bit of sass and an edge, and she's gonna get shit done kind of thing. So she just has an eye for it. So that's my recommendation for the week. I'm gonna go in and watch tonight.
Very good.
My God, I want to watch it. I still haven't watched the bloody morning show because I got so distracted this week.
The morning show, so good.
I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to watch it this weekend and just really enjoy it. But I came home from work on Friday and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to chill out this afternoon. And I couldn't find anything to watch. Went on to Netflix, and there's nothing nicer than you see the new episodes. Do you know? And that flashes up what a series you love. New episodes. Unforgotten season 3.
Three. I'm in the middle of it. So was that your first time watching it, Reb?
No, so I'd watched season 1 and 2 on Netflix a while back, and then I just saw season 3 pop up and I said, oh my God, amazing. So I spent the whole of Friday afternoon, I watched the bloody whole thing in one go, and I enjoyed it so much. I love Nicola Walker. The whole storyline in it is fantastic.
It's so good, and I love Nicola Walker, and you just mentioning this just brings me to like one other point that I want to talk about before we do move on to the next. And that is, so I love Nicola Walker, and when I was watching season 1 and 2 of Unforgotten, I was watching it like watching all of the characters and the actors playing them, and I was like, this is so well cast, just sublime casting, right? So I googled I'd never normally really kind of pay attention to, you know, like casting wouldn't really come into my head. I don't know, it's just not something I pay attention to. But I remember watching season 1 and 2 of Unforgotten and going, I am obsessed with the cast in this. And I googled it straight onto IMDb, found out the casting director is a guy called Victor Jenkins. And then, of course, did a little bit of research on Victor Jenkins. He has done casting for some of our favourite shows, right? So I'm just going to spiel off just a few of the shows that he's done the casting for, right? So you've obviously got Unforgotten. Then you've got The Split. Fleabag.
Oh, wow.
Broadchurch.
Oh.
And back in the day, he did Dream Team. A few episodes of The Bill and a few episodes of Benidorm.
Oh my God.
But like Fleabag, Broadchurch, Unforgotten and The Split. Like
I always thought the characters in Fleabag were the most perfectly cast characters maybe of any TV show ever apart from Sherlock.
Yes.
Sister in Fleabag.
He's phenomenally good at his job. It's so, so good. And I now
want to go season 3.
What?
I have something to tell you. I have never finished season 1. So now I'm going to cop on and I'm going to go inside and watch season 1 tonight.
It's so good.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. And season three, I remember that, you know, when you watch too much stuff at once, I watched Happy Valley and Unforgotten and a few others all around the same time.
Yeah.
So like in my memory, they're all a bit warped and intertwined.
Yeah.
I found season three brilliant. Also, guys, I wasn't sure about it, but Homeland is fucking amazing. And I finished season 7 and they're in Washington this time and it's just absolutely lit.
See,
season 6 was like one of the best, was phenomenal. Obviously, the first three seasons are like, you can't touch them, but it is still really good. And I'm going to watch season 8 now, which is the final one.
See, the fact that the word season is followed by the digit 8... puts me off. I'm like, I can't do 8 seasons.
They're on a different mission in each series, though. If you get me, like it's a different, it's usually a different place. So,
but like they're full hours, and how many episodes in a season? There's a lot, isn't there?
Oh, I think about 11.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to catch up.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, I wasn't really expecting much, and it's fantastic.
Okay,
like
that's
her character is one of the best female leads on television ever.
I'm delighted for you because there's just nothing like getting into a good show, especially when you have time in your hands.
Have you ever watched Anna?
Yeah, Homeland. I remember we talked about it. I gave up when they killed. Is his name Brody?
Yeah.
Brody, yeah.
When they killed him, I was like, nah, no.
I gave up for years. It's just because I have the time now. I'm like, you know what? It was great.
That's it.
This is it. You get sucked back in. I'm watching now. I obviously love all our type of shows and everything, but there is a section of my brain that's reserved for Teen Mom. Teen Mom UK is my favourite one, and it's back this week, and I'm just like, I actually get so happy sitting down to watch it on a Wednesday.
I love it.
So yeah, that's me as well this week. But I wouldn't go as far as to recommend that to anyone. I'm just
I'm admitting Teen Mom. I love how much you love it. It was one of those shows I never got. Like, I preferred The Hills and Geordie Shore and Jersey Shore. I never really got into the Teen Mom on MTV back in the day, but people are obsessed with it.
I talk to Craig and people about those girls. I know them. Like, if something happens to them, I'd be bawling, crying. I'm like texting girls. I'm like, I can't. Like, there's been a big, like, someone got cheated on this week and it's really bad. And I'm like, every so often I keep thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just devastated.
Oh my God. Also, guys, did you watch the reunion episode of Tiger King? I watched Tiger King this week as well. I fucking couldn't get my head around how insane it was. The tiger abuse, horrific. But the people in it, like, just when you thought it couldn't get crazier, it got crazier.
With the reunion episode.
No, just the whole series. But the reunion episode was a bit disappointing.
I think the whole thing was a bit bland. And that I also felt after we watched Don't Fuck With Cats, and they made that whole point at the end about us feeding off, you know, real life events like murders and animal abuse, and they were like, you know, fucking stop watching these things. Tiger King wasn't near a patch on that anyway, but I was watching Tiger King being like, oh God, like, Netflix can see that I've clicked on this, and so, you know, when they look at their figures, they'll go and make more shit like this because we all watch it.
Yeah, and apparently it's the most watched documentary of all time.
Tiger King.
Yes.
That's depressing.
Isn't it?
Because it's not the best.
No, it isn't, but it's insane. Like, the storyline's insane. It's like a terrible, it's like you'd write it yourself in your, do you know what I mean? Like, if you were saying, write a ridiculous show story and anything could happen, it's that in real life.
Yeah.
I think that's why people are just like, can't get their head around it. But I'm very late to the party, but I was literally like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
That seems to be the overall reaction.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're not watching that, are you?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
You're not missing anything. No, but Hannah,
I know, obviously, you don't go to zoos. You're like a animal advocate. Like, you would hate it.
An animal advocate.
Am I?
No, like, you would. You would hate it. It's like, some of it's very horrible.
Yeah, that's what I did get into. And I'm kind of past, like, maybe if we were out in the real world and like 700 people in work were telling you, have you not watched it, you'd like be peer pressured into it.
No, Hannah, but, like, you don't need to
sitting in the house on my own, I'm like, I'll be grand, do you know what I mean?
No, do you know what?
I need to watch three seasons of Unforgotten.
Yeah, you do. So good. Okay, so let's talk about the best TV we watched this week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Guys, it was so good. Okay.
Give us a
recap.
Did
it end? Give us a recap first. Well, am I doing the recap?
Go on, yeah. Yes.
I was like, lol, has anyone done a recap? Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Does anyone have a recap?
Okay, so at the end of the last... So we watched two episodes this week. At the end of the third episode, and I rewatched them all because our Craig only started watching them yesterday, so I actually watched all six of them yesterday, which was nice to have a recap before getting into the last two, or all five of them. So at the end of the third episode, we left Kaya. She was at the waterfall, and she had been out there all night, and she got an infection, and she was rushed to hospital, and she ended up having to deliver the baby. So the baby had come into the world, but she was unconscious, so the parents didn't have... The baby wasn't signed over to them yet, so they couldn't get in to visit her, and all that carry-on was going on. Then Kaya's mum... I'm going to get everyone's names up here so I can...
While you're getting the names up there, we never found out how she ended up at that waterfall, did we?
I don't know. She just got there. Did she?
Remember, she told the fella, the nephew, that was her safe place and where
so,
she'd go.
And so, so she just took herself off there after the whole stress of everything.
Yeah. I don't think she threw herself. I think she was kind of sitting there, and then I think maybe she got really cold and fell over.
Yeah. Or just slipped while she was trying to... Yeah, I think she probably slipped on one of those flat stones, maybe.
Yeah, she was just having a freak out. So basically, Dan and Emily don't have the rights to the child yet. The whole thing was that because Kaya gave birth to the baby, that Kaya is a legal mother until she signs over the child.
Yes.
But then we found out in a really weird twist that I don't really understand, that the baby wasn't Kaya's or Dottie's, which was possible for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The baby also didn't come from Dan and Emily's egg and sperm. The baby is an unknown. So basically the hospital in Ukraine fucked up the insemination.
Yeah.
Inseminated Kaya with an embryo that was nothing to do with Dan and Emily. And now the baby legally belongs to no one. Now the issue that I had with this is that Emily didn't cry once.
No.
And I was like, okay, she's either like a really strong and powerful character, but I would have literally had a meltdown.
Yeah.
Also, guys, it was the one theory we didn't guess. I was fuming. I was like, shit, how did we not think of this?
Yeah, and I just think because Emily had been so irrational at the start about the last embryo and it was such a risk, I was kind of like, her reaction confused me a little bit because I'm like, your embryo now is out into the world.
Or
it's being grown in another surrogate. And I was just a bit like, okay, I don't... But she was obviously having a complete meltdown and not taking things in properly, maybe, I'm not sure. So then Kaya's mum comes back out of the woodwork, played by Shirley Henderson. Siobhan, she is an alcoholic, she's a really bad mother. We find out what happened, why Kaya was the youngest serial killer in the UK, or killer in the UK. Basically, Siobhan was having a fight with her sister who was pregnant, and Kaya got in between them and accidentally stabbed the sister, and Siobhan let her take all of the blame.
I had to watch that a couple of times. Did you?
It was awful.
Yeah, it was awful, but I couldn't figure out. And then later on, you realise that she stabbed her in the leg.
I think she stabbed her just under the baby bump.
Oh, yeah, she stabbed her kind of under her belly button, I think, yeah.
I just couldn't figure out how that what's the word, like, because to stab someone, I know that sounds so terrible, to stab somebody, it's such a, like, it was just such a, like, she just moved the knife back. I just couldn't, like, get my head around how you would stab someone that fatally when you just move, you know what I mean?
Completely, and it seemed also kind of a very light movement as well, but I kind of got the opinion her bump was really low down, and I think she actually just stabbed her in under the bump maybe.
And then also the mother just let her lay on the floor. She didn't call an ambulance, do you know what I mean?
I think she was allowed to bleed out. Like, Siobhan obviously had lots of different mental health issues, and she seems like quite an abusive person. She also seems to have a massive drinking problem, so I think had the sister been rushed off to hospital, everything would have been fine, but I think it nearly suited Siobhan to have her gone and have her daughter blamed. Kind of how I was looking at it. She saw an opportunity there. She also was like straight onto TV, you know, she kind of was like making the most of the situation. So
let her 11-year-old take the blame, who was an innocent child basically, who was trying to defend her at the time
basically. So Siobhan's back in Kaya's life then, and starts to convince Kaya that she does actually want to keep the child, that it will change her life, that she should keep the child, and Kaya doesn't really have anyone else giving her any opinions or advice. So this is kind of what she starts to do. She starts to visit the baby a lot more. She actually names the baby Niamh, when Emily and Dan had already named the baby Gracie Catherine. Grace after Emily's friend who died after she took a bad ecstasy tablet. That story just came out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
I was like, she had mentioned it though. There was, in an earlier episode, she had said something like, I lost someone close to me once.
Yeah, I just felt it was just wedged in there, and I don't know.
I loved that the sister was like, you use this for an excuse for everything, you use that story.
Yeah, I don't know how that scene made me feel, because I thought she was going in trying to like be like, to try and help her, to be like, you know, forgive yourself for that, you know, move on from it, you know, allow yourself to live. But then she kind of went a bit funny at the end again, and I thought it was a bit harsh. I don't know.
She was fuming.
I found Emily's reaction to loads of it very like, she was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I was like, well, actually, you guys asked a vulnerable 18-year-old to carry a baby for you and paid her. And that wasn't right. Like, that wasn't right.
Yeah, I thought the sister's opinions are really interesting, because Emily was like actually my favorite character out of all of it. I really enjoyed like the screen time with her. I found it very interesting. But when the sister, Hillary, kind of stripped her down like that, I was like, Reb, same as you. I'm like, yeah, you actually did go for what you wanted. Like, you wanted a baby, and you did every single thing you could. On the porch with Dan in a big huge storm, she told him that she would take the embryo whether he liked it or not. She kept inviting Kaya over to the house. She wouldn't break contact with her. Like, she was adamant about what she wanted, and she got it in the end. So I thought that was actually an interesting look at her, because she doesn't seem like that type of character. But when you actually dig down into her actions, she was kind of cutthroat.
It was really harsh, though. Like, it was really harsh about the friend thing. But obviously, you're one so pissed off because her husband, you're one so pissed off at her marriage being over. Like, her husband betrayed the whole family and sold the story on your man. Do you know that way?
Yeah, that was insane. But also, they seem to have issues long before.
Totally. Yeah, he was just fed up with,
They said about three words to each other in 6 hours.
And then the son being like, I don't know why you're looking out for her. She doesn't give a fuck about you. I was like, Jesus.
Jack. And then, sorry, let's talk about James for a second. So it turns out he was selling. So he had access to records from different drug dealers that have come through the social care system.
I told you he was dodgy. I said it last week.
You're selling your fancy.
I think I said it once. I am an engaged woman. What was I going to say? I'm all shook now. So James got arrested because he was selling personal information about drug dealers, kids and people who grew up into the drug world, to other dealers or gang members. So basically he would sell people's addresses and phone numbers so other people could access them, and that's how Doddy ended up dying.
Basic GDPR, lads, taken for 20% of his global turnover.
And the whole reason James was doing that was because he couldn't afford to go and fight for his daughter, for custody of his daughter, against the mother that we never met up in court, he needed money for that. So he was basically doing that to make money, which is really sad. But you really can't do that to people, because Kai's boyfriend ended up floating in a river.
Yeah.
Did I have everything there? Is that like a wrap up of everything?
I think you had everything there, yeah.
Yeah, like, there was a few hairy moments that you're like, Jesus, where's the baby going to go?
Well, I mean, yeah, and then obviously at the very end, I mean, we find out that the baby goes to Dan and, what's her name again?
Yeah, yes. So Dan and Emily got the baby in the end, but there was like a lot of back and forth there where it was baby Grace, baby Neve, and then Dan and Emily were allowed into the hospital and then they weren't, and then it was Kaya and the mom, and then it was Kaya and Janice, and the social care worker really seems to be pushing for Kaya to take that baby, which I don't know if that was the best advice, to be honest, because
yeah,
she was adamant that she didn't want a child. And then, yeah, it sort of switched, because obviously the embryo doesn't belong to Dan and Emily. They're technically adopting the child now from Kaya, who's the legal mother by default. And Dan said he was totally against adoption, but now he changed his mind. So there was a bit there in the last episode where he had to actually convince Emily, who seemed to have not bonded with the child whatsoever, hadn't gone to visit her really since she was born. So it got all a bit muddled, but it got sorted out in the end.
Yeah, and Dan's business is obviously going to be gone to shit.
Well, yeah, because founded on the drugs money, yeah.
Yeah, shock on.
So that journalist, Chow Chang, basically ended up posting, we sort of forgot to talk about this, two articles. So one, which was Dan Doherty bought a baby, and two, he founded his company on drugs money. But the article about buying the baby ended up having Kaya's cover blown. Which meant that she has gone back into kind of a sort of witness protection now. She's living in a safe house completely on her own. She's probably going to have to be given another identity. So I don't know how I feel about that type of journalism, or if that was the right thing to do. I'm not sure.
The mum is an absolute wet, like, so evil. So evil.
Just a terrible mother.
Terrible. Like, I actually wanted to throw something at her when I was watching it, but she's such a great actress.
Well, yeah, she's a brilliant actress. When she was down on the floor, when Kaya threw the money, she's like, oh, it's money. When she threw it on the floor and the mother got down on the gammy leg and was like picking up the 50s.
Can you
going,
imagine?
You owe me my health. Like, what a horrible, horrible woman.
I just felt so, like, I felt the whole series was so good because your loyalty to each character constantly changed.
Yes, good
like
point.
Like, constantly, like, I think we all had a bit of an idea that Kaya, that story about her stabbing the like, her auntie, there was more to us and everything. But, like, your sympathies and everything just kept changing. And even towards the end, like, by the end, I was like, you're all messed up in your own way and you're all flawed and you've all made mistakes. But, like, they all did really get their fresh start by the end of it, which was nice that it was wrapped up properly.
Yeah. I hope we get a season two.
I was about to ask you now, do you think we're going to, is there a story there?
Yeah, where does it, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't see where it would go, but obviously you can write it.
I would love Kaya to have a spin-off like that. The actor who plays her, Miran Mack, is like phenomenal. Like, she is absolutely incredible. Like, give her an Oscar.
The biggest, most gorgeous eyes. Her eyes.
Yeah.
The girl who played her as an 11-year-old.
The younger her. Is it her real sister?
I don't know. It was so, they look so alike.
Yeah, I didn't even Google it, but I just assumed it had to be her real sister.
Yeah.
That bit where Emily went to visit her in the hospital and she asked for 20 grand to sign the adoption papers.
Yeah.
Or the visitation papers. That was wild.
Guys, she was like,
for the DNA test, yeah.
Oh, there was the DNA test.
She was like, give me a 20. And I thought, like, she meant 20 grand. 20 grand.
And Emily just didn't say a thing. And sorry, did you see how much was in that current
11
account?
Mil, was it?
I rewinded it. It was 104,000. But Brendan, that's the current account. That's like the account that you can rob. Like, that's like you're just going down to Aldi.
That's not your savings. That's the money for the shop. Oh.
That's your tapping your contactless account. Like, what the fuck? But it's all going to go now. The restaurant was, there was bars to the window. Trashed. So I don't know. Like, they're going to be out of that very nice house pretty soon, I reckon.
Oh, I actually meant to ask this, guys. There was one bit that, like, Dan is talking to her when it all comes out that he did actually do money. What do you call it when you clean the money? You clean the money.
Laundry.
You clean the money. But there was one point the dad said something like, we might lose the house. And I actually gasped because I was like, not the house.
Not the house.
I was like, not that stunning lakeside
Take
house.
Take mon business, but what? Just leave the mon house.
Oh my God. But also the soundtrack was amazing.
Oh, another great use of a bit of London grammar at the end there, yeah. Like the split, yeah?
Yeah, the song at the end is deadly, was.
Yeah, it was very good.
Oh, incredible. But also, I think they were in a different house in the very last scene when it's the two of them and the baby, because
that
I
room
couldn't see the
small.
Lake.
I honestly, I think they're living in the sister's house. I think Callum has moved out, and I think that's where they are. I don't think they're ever getting back into that house again. He's going to lose his home.
We can rent it for £3,000 a week, though, so maybe we could try. Also, Glasgow looked amazing in it. Like,
oh,
they made
some
Glasgow.
Some of the aerial shots were, yeah, it looked deadly.
It feels like it was funded by some sort of tourism board or something, because like I'm going to
visit Scotland, yeah.
Yeah, it had a bit of a Visit Scotland vibe, and like a lot of the actors were local and first jobs and stuff, which is really cool.
Oh guys, it was so good. I really miss it now, because it was really nice when you know that you're good, like, because
that
it was
your
so
Sunday
good
evening,
you, like,
sorted, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a lovely thing. I don't watch it on the Sunday night. I used to come home every Monday and watch it, and it was a real nice thing to look forward to on a Monday. Do you know that way?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll miss it. Yeah, we'll miss it.
Okay, so Hannah, this week your homework is to watch the rest of Unforgotten.
Yes, and let me just tell you really quickly that while there has been no official announcements, there is sort of rumours and whispers of a season two for the next.
Yes.
Yeah, so Nicole Taylor, she's the writer. She said that the thriller won't be tied up in a bow at the end, so sort of even some little dangly bits which could bring us into season two. If we don't get one, I think we'll all be happy with where we've left.
We will be happy with where it's
left. She's left some little loose bits for us there.
I'm just thinking, you know where it could go in season two?
Tell us, Brent.
Is the parents, what you call the people who are having, so obviously the surrogate carries it, but then they will be the biological parents?
No, they're the donor
parents?
No, they use the term in the hospital, intended parents.
Intended parents. Okay, so what if the intended parents of the baby that Dan now has come looking for their baby?
Yeah, because they realise that their baby is theirs.
But then they may not just have had a direct swap either, so they may be left without, because they might be able to find where their embryo ended up.
I think that's the perfect place for it to go. I also think Dan very much wanted to keep the baby. I think Emily looked really, really happy in the last scene, but I think you could definitely sway her, and I could see her, from what we know about her character, waking up one day and wanting to find their embryo, their bit of them, their last bit of them in the world. Like, they spoke about that over and over again, how important it was to them, like it would be to any parent. And I think there could be a hunt on both sides, and then intertwined into maybe like Kaya and her entrepreneurial wave.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I would be definitely up for watching a season two.
Season two, episode one, Kaya owns the restaurant, guaranteed.
Yeah, Kaya invented.
Kaya and Jack.
Yeah.
I liked them as a couple.
It was, then he kind of, we still didn't find out about his night in the stomach pumping. There was obviously no more to that story, and I was just...
He came down the stairs and was like dramatically drinking a bottle of Heineken in front of his dad. So I think he's like, I drink now. And I think that scene was maybe to wrap that up for you, that he did.
Yeah, he was actually drinking. I was like, that was a theory. But we were right about Kaya, the story. There being more to the story.
Yeah.
With the mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. I think you could see a comeback.
Oh, I'd be well up for it. Brendan, what's my homework and what's your homework?
Well, your homework maybe then is Breeders.
Oh, yeah. Guys, where do I watch it again? Now TV.
Now TV, Sky Show. Really, really good. Yeah.
I also need to watch, we've had a couple of people, because we were talking about the newsroom, saying to watch The West Wing. I still haven't watched that.
I've never watched
Broadchurch or The Split or Fleabag or Little Fires or The Morning Show. So
hold on a second. You haven't seen Broadchurch?
No. Nope.
Rebecca.
Do that next, Rob.
That's your homework. Forget everything else.
Yeah. Wait, do we know where I can watch it?
Couldn't tell you.
We'll find one for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Little Fires Everywhere, episode one.
Where,
and I'm
gonna where get back is in. That?
I'm going to find that. That's Hulu. Okay. So I'm going to figure that out. And I will figure it out privately. And I will watch Unforgotten Season 1 wherever I left off. I think Amazing. There was a skull, it was under a building, so I'm pretty sure that's
yes,
episode 1.
Yes, that is, yeah, that you're it's, right,
it's
Hannah.
Honestly,
that happens every
really,
season.
Really good.
There's a skull in a building, so I'll go back to that.
Yeah. Also, guys, love Wedding Repeat
on
Netflix.
Netflix. Adored it. Olivia Munn. Amazing, Sam Claflin.
It's a movie, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, you know a day where you just want a really easy watch and maybe just the whole coronavirus thing is like overwhelming you and you just want to put on something real easy, that save it for then.
Perfect. That's it's a great brilliant. Suggestion. And Brendan, what are you watching?
I don't know.
Week?
What have I got to watch? I've never
what done, could you watch? Why don't you watch Little Fires Everywhere with me?
Yeah, okay, great. You let
and
me know
we
when
can
you
talk
found
about
it.
Episode 1 next week.
We will.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, I'll watch it as well, so we're all watching it.
You
Rebecca,
get off and watch Broadchurch.
We'd love you to watch it.
Huh?
We'd love you to join us, but you have to watch Broadchurch as well.
Yeah,
so
you need to go
it.
Watch Broadchurch.
It's so funny, though, because sometimes you go to watch these things and you're just not in the mood
oh
for
my God, yeah,
TV on a certain
totally.
Day.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the most random stuff in the weirdest of orders. Like, sometimes
Completely.
I watch one episode of, like, something really light, and then I'm like, oh, well, I'll watch The Parent Trap on Disney+.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm
very keep...
all over the shop with it, you know, that way. But sure, listen, we'll try our best, and we've got many a time to do it.
We do.
See how you get on. There's no pressure.
And we'd also love what you to know what people are watching and if there's any recommendations that you have, because now is the time to discover all the TV shows that we didn't have time to watch before. So we'd love if you could tweet us at ShrinePod or else on Instagram as well. Or you can email us, shrinepod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Guys.
We want to know what you're watching.
It's been fun.
It has been fun.
I really look forward to it every week.
Same. Yeah, me too. Love to hear your voices.
Okay, until next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in. One thing only. And that's bent coppers.
Shrine of Duty. The official, unofficial podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.